तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
दिस इज चैप्टर ऑफ द गीता एंटाइटल्ड एज कर्म सन्यासी योग। The emphasis here is on sannyasa. Earlier we had already spoken about karma, karma yoga. After having gone through karma yoga, individual chitta shuddhi happens. Chitta shuddhi means mind gets purified, self purification. And without self purification, one should not get into renunciation. Renunciation is growth, not escapism. Human being alone has the choice of action or freedom to choose whether to do or not to do. The famous confusion that Hamlet had, to be or not to be. At any given point in time, we all have the choice. So having chosen either or, the consequence will be bound by. You have a choice to smoke or not to smoke. But whatever you choose, you will have to be bound by the consequence of your action. And this choice could be looked upon as a blessing or as a curse. Very often, when we are faced with crucial decisions, in fact, popular seminars are on decision making, right? You know what is the right decision to be made, yet you do not want to make that decision. Today, currently, the biggest debate that is going on is about the convicts who apparently convicted for killing of our ex-Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi. When they were convicted and they were sentenced to death by the court, Supreme Court, and they had asked for pardoning from the President, and for almost 11 years the subsequent governments simply did not decide, as a result of which whatever has happened today has happened. Whether it is right, wrong, we are not getting into that. But what I am trying to say is, when a decision has to be made, somebody has to sign, no, don't pardon them. Let them be hanged. Or pardon them. It is easy to stop sitting here, take a decision. But leader is one who is able to take the decision, and especially when it is tough decision. And Arjuna was faced with one such, almost the toughest decision, that he had to kill his own guru, who taught him how to wield the weapons, and his own great grandfather who renounced the throne, who actually is the heir to the throne, and he had to eliminate them. This is the choice that he is put in, and he wants to escape in the beginning, and that's how the Gita started when he surrendered to the Lord. So the choice that he is confronted with is whether to go ahead and fight, and even if it means that he had to kill his great-grandfather and guru, or escape. And he was about to choose escaping. And when he was confused and he realized that he is confused and he surrendered to the Lord, Lord told him, you cannot escape. We also said in our classes that beware of entrance to a quarrel, but being in, bear that the enemy, beware of thee. What Shakespeare says in Polonius' Advice, in the play Hamlet. So this choice that Arjuna is confronted with, he is still not clear, even though Lord has spent explaining in detail in the second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter, he is still asking the same question. He comes back to square one.
Asking the same question.
You know, it's not easy. So his question is, You seem to be praising renunciation also, you seem to be praising yoga also. Yoga means karma yoga here. Now, which is right? Which one do you recommend for me? Because he doesn't want to choose. If you are also praising renunciation anyway, then which is what I was about to do? Why then are you not in agreement with me? Why are you saying I should be in yoga? Both are okay. You seem to be praising renunciation on one hand and karma yoga on one hand. Which is better for me? And always when anybody is asking a question to you, there is an answer and there is the answer that needs to be given to the person who is questioning. The person who is questioning here is not somebody who is risen above the material world, like in the case of a Upanishad student. He still has value for the world, which was very, very, very clear in the first chapter when Arjuna said, as he was justifying his stance, he was saying we would be winning after killing all these people, therefore our pleasures will be tainted with their blood. So his mind is still in the pleasures of the world. He is not somebody who is fit to be in sannyasa ashrama, to take up sannyas, to renounce everything and leave, not to own anything, not to possess anything. And yet he was about to do that. So his confusion is asking now, should I follow renunciation or action? Meaning, grahastha ashrama or sannyasa ashrama? Should I be in the world or should I leave and take up sannyas? So the Lord, taking the questioner into account, he says, karma yoga is superior to sannyasa. Whenever anybody questions, the answer should be something in accordance to the questioner. You should keep the questioner also in mind. Right? If Lord says sannyas is superior, and he would say, very good, that is what I wanted. Sannyas is growth, not escapism. When the challenge is so huge and you are not able to face it, you try to take an easy route of escapism. That is not sannyas. Sannyas means, remember this, word sannyas immediately should bring in your mind the English word growth. It is growing out, growing above, growing beyond the toy world, the world. When a child grows up and becomes an adult, it grows out of the toys. It is not giving up the toys are giving up the child. Are you with me? The child has grown out of it. In its mind, the toy world is not there. Oh, when I was living, when I was growing up, these kind of new toys were all not there. Nowadays you have sophisticated games and this and that. Oh, I did not play with them, so let me play. You have such thoughts? I hope not. Right? So generally, everybody, when they grow and become an adult, in their mind, they are not preoccupied with the toy world. Similarly, you should grow out of the worldly possessions mentally. That is sannyas. It is irrelevant whether you take up sannyas ashrama or you do not take up sannyas ashrama. Sannyas ashrama means a lifestyle. Grahastha ashrama is another lifestyle. A lifestyle where you decide to be with possessions. That is grahastha ashrama. A lifestyle which you have chosen to be away from all the possessions. With the barest minimum, that is sannyas ashrama. But whether you are amongst possessions or you are not amongst possessions, in your mind the possessiveness should not be there. The possessions should not be preoccupying your mind. Then you are a sannyasi. This should be very clear. So the Lord, taking into account the questioner, which is Arjuna, he says, grahastha ashrama is superior, karma yoga is superior, yoga of action is superior compared to sannyas ashrama. Though sannyas and karma yoga both will lead you to realization. Remember this. Always, in the beginning, when you have too much of desires, you are extroverted. You are going to have the mind which is going to be constantly running towards the world. You cannot afford to stop the mind. Already Lord Krishna said, Karmendriyani Samyamya, Ya Aste Manasasmaran Indriyata Vimudatma Nityachavasa Uchyate. Verse number 6, chapter 3. If you restrain your organs of action, but mentally keep on thinking about the worldly object, then you are a hypocrite. On the contrary, what is Lord suggesting? You might as well be
in the world,
but dedicate your actions to the Lord. Function as an ambassador of the divinity. Thus, since your identification is always with the divinity, over a period of time, divinity establishes itself, you rise above the positions. This is what he had spoken. So he says, only children will talk about sannyas and karma yoga as different. Both will lead you to the same fruit. Karma yoga will purify you, give you chitta shuddhi. When chitta shuddhi happens, you gain the jnana yogyata. Jnana yogyata means what? You qualify to receive the knowledge. Today you are so restless that the knowledge is not received. If the soil is not conducive, it cannot germinate, even if you sow the seed. Are you with me? So firstly, you have to offload the bulk of your vasanas, offload the bulk of your desires, and that is through engaging yourself in action. But how do you engage yourself in action? Today also you are engaging yourself in action, but you are not engaging in action in the spirit of karma yoga. You are functioning as a karmi. You are acting tremendously attached to action, with so much of desire propelling the action and attachment to the fruit of the action. So Lord simply said, continue acting, but you should have dedicated your actions to the higher. You dedicate the actions to the supreme. So in other words, act with awareness. Act you must, but action with the awareness. Proper action and proper attitude. I spoke in the wheel of life, doing the action for the welfare of the entire universe in the spirit of Loka Sangraha. Welfare of the whole universe, not just for me and myself. Maximum I include today is my family. You have a certain talent, nature. This universe is having so many people, so many objects and beings with tremendous contribution to the world. Similarly, you also be a contributory factor to the universe. If you happen to be a Kshatriya, do the job of a Kshatriya as a spoke in the wheel of life. No prefix, no suffix. Somebody invites you for a talk, and the talk itself is only for 10 minutes. And when your turn comes, you go up on the podium and say, I don't know whether I am eligible to talk. We are all very, very knowledgeable people. Though you have called me, I am really humbled. 10 minutes already over. You are still not started. No need for you to give any prefix or suffix. Like Swami Vivekananda started, my dear brothers and sisters of America, sisters and brothers of America. I'm started, that's it. Just get on to the mat. You are just a spoke in the wheel of life, and that attitude, that spirit is karma yoga spirit. And you do it with full awareness. You have the desire. God plus desire equals human beings. Human beings, when they rise above the desires, they become divine. The idea is to rise above the desires. But suppressing the desires will make you a hypocrite. Indulging in the desires will still increase more desires. So either way, you are not going to rise above the desires. So what the Lord says is, act with awareness. Let the desires be there. Your idea is to go through, but while going through, you are remaining as a witness to your action. And thus when you act, actions will have its consequence. You should be ready to face their consequence. See, sometimes what happens, you know certain desires are not right. You try your best not to act upon them. Say for example, stealing. Right? But there is a tremendous momentum in you. You know that you should not be angry with somebody. But that momentum is there. You try your best, you are not able to control. So, Lord says, go through the experience. Go through the experience with awareness and acceptance. Whatever you do, result of that, you will have to face the consequence. Now, the consequence may be favorable, consequence may not be favorable, but whatever might be the consequence, accept them. It is called as prasada buddhi. Prasada buddhi. So when you do an action with arpana buddhi, with dedication, and when you do an action with prasada buddhi, it becomes karma yoga. Thus, over a period of time, even though the action that you are doing is called as nishita karma, forbidden action, something not correct, but still you are saying, oh Lord, I am not able to stop myself from doing this. So somehow help me to rise above this. And you go through the experience with awareness. And when you do this, over a period of time, the awareness will establish itself and you will rise above the desires. But since you acted like that, the consequence will be there. That you should be strong enough, bold enough, courageous enough to accept, and that is called prasada buddhi. Thus when you do, slowly, slowly, you rise above desires. And when the desires leave you, you have now grown out of them. You have not left your desires, but the desires have left you. And then you are now a sannyasi. And now when you are a sannyasi, you can choose to take up the sannyasa lifestyle or you can continue with the grahastha ashrama. But for all practical purposes, you are a sannyasi. Because in your mind, world is not there. So when Lord says, karma yoga is superior, he is in a way right. Why? Because being amongst the objects, and yet objects are not powerful enough to draw you or influence you, you are more powerful than the objects to influence them rather than they influencing you. Very often, when the trouble or challenge or problem is of somebody else's, we all quote Bhagavad Gita and give great advice. But when it is our own, we don't know what to do. Right? So now, when you are having all the objects around you, the world is around you, yet you are commanding them, they are not commanding you. That is superior. Like Mahatma Gandhiji said, any fool can find shanti in shanti. Can you be inside, calm, composed, balanced in a fish market, in a share market, where they are all shouting, all this is going on? So he said, in a way that is superior. Even Vivekananda said the same thing. Being in grahastha ashrama, you directing your senses rather than senses directing you. We all put in our visiting card, right, director of so-and-so company. But am I really director of myself? So Lord Krishna is saying, first you become the director of yourself. This entire spirituality is nothing but becoming the CEO of your life. That's all. We are all CEOs of many organizations, this and that. But when it comes to our own life, we are not CEOs. Our mind is controlling us. Our senses are controlling us. You exactly know how you will behave Probably you may not know, but others will know how exactly you will behave if so and so person is brought in front of you. Seeing him, my blood is boiling. I don't know what to do. You understand? So they know exactly what to do. They bring that fellow, you're finished. Like chicken, you know, chicken beef was brought, Bhishma dropped the weapon, and Arjuna shot from behind. You can be taken for granted. Because exactly you will function like that if such an object or being comes in front of you. And you will say, that person makes me angry. That person is not making you angry. Anger is flowing inside you. That person is like a bucket. You are like a well. He only draws a little bit out of it. Out of the well. But the anger is still flowing inside you. Right? So you continue functioning in the spirit of Karma Yoga while eating, sleeping, whatever you do, whatever actions you do. Thus, what happens is slowly, slowly you will detach. And then you are able to gain knowledge. It is not as if in the beginning you do only Karma Yoga and you don't take in knowledge. But what happens is the taking in of knowledge will be less compared to your action. Because you are so extroverted. Like you can say that probably you will have one sprint of studying, reflecting in a day. And the rest of the time you will be more active. But slowly, slowly there will come a time when this whole process will get reversed. Very little of action. Two or three or more sprints of studying. You understand? That will change, the proportion will change. From extroversion you will become introvert. And then you will be spending too much time in gaining Shravana, which is listening, reading, then reflecting, Manan. And then knowledge will slowly sink in. It gets established in you. And when you gain the knowledge of Atma, through the scriptures, from the qualified teacher, from the guru, you understand that you are not the body having the consciousness or the soul, you are the soul or consciousness expressing through the body. That thing will get reversed. Today, see, it's like this. We think that object or being is binding us. How is it binding you? Is your car binding you? You say, yes sir, it is binding me. My house, my people, they are there they are. Objects are there they are. But you bind yourself to the object. For example, you may be sitting in the class, but inside your mind, you may be thinking about your children. This bondage is at the mental level. What do you mean? Actually, there is no bondage physically. Similarly, we have associated ourselves from the time we are born and maybe in many janmas previously as well with this body. So when also people ask you, oh, you lost weight. Oh, you turned weight. Oh, you turned black. What's happening? You understand? Oh, you're getting old. Tooth is falling. You know, teeth is falling one by one. So, in other words, slowly everybody is also kind of projecting that you are the body. And you are also accepting. What is that word they use in psychology? They say, somebody who goes on saying lies. And after a while, they start believing in their lies. There's a particular terminology for that. I'm forgetting. He's a compulsive liar kind of a person. He'll lie and he'll go on lying. After a while, he'll start believing in what he is saying only. Like that, you go on repeating yourself identifying with the body, after a while, you are not able to separate yourself from the body. When the pain is happening to the body, instead of saying, my body is paining, even though you may say, my head is aching, you are feeling the pain, you are going through the pain, you have become the pain body. But when you gain this knowledge slowly, slowly, this separation happens after you reflect. Pain will still be there. As long as the body is there, the external world is going to give it due to the body, pleasure and pain. When the body is interacting with the world, body will go through pain and pleasure. Just because you just got back from Bhagavad Gita class now, everybody is not going to give you way in the road. There is going to be chaos. Oh, please, these people are coming from Bhagavad Gita class, so please, you know, give them way. Nothing like that is going to happen. Right? The traffic situation is going to be the same. But earlier what happens? Few seconds, you are calm. After a while, slowly, anger comes, anger comes. Then you get involved. Then you become one. You become inseparable. Now this distance will keep on increasing. Are you with me? So, now instead of you being pain body anymore, you will start seeing pain separate from pain is at the body level. Pleasure is at the body level. I am Atma. I am the consciousness. And consciousness is not the doer. It is not the karta. You remember what we studied in the 4th chapter? I think 4th chapter verse 18. Action in inaction, inaction in action. We discussed about that. Karma in akarma, akarma in karma. When you are seated in the train and you fell off to sleep and the train has reached Agra, you boarded the train in Delhi and you slept off. Train has reached Agra, you got up and you got down in the station there. Now you say, I came from Delhi to Agra. Did you move? You were sleeping. But you find yourself in Agra. Why? The train moved. Similarly, it is the mind, it is the thought, it is the mind that is moving, not the Atma. When you start seeing that, then you slowly understand that I am not the doer. And me not being the doer, I am neither a sinner committing sin or somebody who is doing virtuous action. I am neither a virtuous person nor a vicious person. I am Atma. Crystal is colorless. You keep the crystal on a green cloth, it will appear green. You keep it on blue cloth, it appears blue. But crystal per se is colorless. Are you with me? So slowly, slowly you start realizing this. Not only you, everybody. See, first of all, we need to understand that we, our thoughts project our experience. Duryodhan and Yudhishthira both were sent to the same world. Met the same people. And when they came back, Duryodhan was asked, did you find anyone good in that? He said, nobody. I could not find even one good soul. Yudhishthira was asked, did you find any bad souls, negative people? Not even one I can find. Both met the same people. Not different people. Are you with me? So, in other words, when I am identified with limitations, I project the limitation upon others. Then I am different, they are different. I see things differently. When I see myself limitless, then I start seeing everyone limitless. That is the point. So then automatically what happens when I start gaining this knowledge, instead of separation, oneness starts coming. Right? I will start seeing the self in all and all in the self. Today why am I not seeing? Because I am gross. Inside the Chitta Shuddhi has not happened. Inside the purification has not happened. Inside I have not become transparent. When I become transparent, the things will change. That is why Mahatma Gandhiji said, be the change you wish to see. So when this knowledge goes in slowly, slowly over a period of time, the inside changes. If the inside changes, hatred falls. Simply by stopping the war, you don't get peace. But by removing the hatred from inside, there will be permanent peace. This is what Lord Krishna is trying to say. We are trying to buy peace. You can't buy peace. You understand? Peace is not a commodity that you can buy. When the inside is changed, automatically peace will prevail. So Lord Krishna is trying to tell here that slowly, slowly when you reflect, your mind and intellect both will start getting established in the See, in the spiritual journey what happens at times, you get some sort of experiences which is supreme also. In fact, some people say, as they go into deeper meditative states, they even get some visions. And they take the visions to be the ultimate. Swami Ramananda beautifully gives explanation to this. He says, when there is green mantle covering the pond, the surface of the pond is covered with green mantle. One way of seeing sun's reflection in it is plunging your hands inside and pushing them forcefully. Then temporarily the thing cleans up and quickly you kind of have a vision of the sun, reflection of the sun. But within few seconds or minutes, the green mantle will come and cover it again. In this there is a danger. What is the danger? I, the seer, is separate from the seen. I have seen. Now I am supreme. So I start looking at everybody as somebody lower and I am great. This is the problem when the knowledge is not settled. When then knowledge itself starts becoming a burden. Knowledge will start becoming a burden. When you take food to your office for lunch, a different carrier is heavy. But when the same food is eaten by you and you have digested it, you feel light. The food has gone into your stomach, you should feel heavy, but it has been digested, distributed, you feel light. When the knowledge is not digested, it burdens you. It binds you. When the same knowledge is digested, it sets you free. Are you with me? So many people come into this path of knowledge and there also what they are doing is, they are simply stuffing them with information. They are not doing any reflection. Then they say, I have been going to Bhagavad Gita class, Vedanta class, this and that, nothing has happened. The Guru says, if something has happened, I will be surprised. Because you are not doing reflection. Remember, success is not got without merit, without effort, without sacrifice. Are you with me? There needs to be a lot of sacrifice. 1% is inspiration, 99% is perspiration. So you have to put in the effort of reflecting, doing manan. Then slowly the knowledge settles. It is not the matter of gaining vision in some meditative states. Then that will not stay forever, and on the contrary, you start becoming arrogant. But if you got true knowledge going in, if you really digested the knowledge, then you will become a true Brahmana. In 18th verse, Lord Krishna in chapter 5, he says, what did he say? He says, a Brahmana is one who is endowed with what? Vidya and Vinaya. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Kavi Hastini Shunishchaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshanaha. Humility. A Brahmana means one who has got knowledge how do you know that he is real Brahmana? He should have both Vidya and Vinaya. Vidya and Vinaya will always go together. Similarly, Viveka will always go back, go with Vairagya. Just Viveka but no Vairagya, that means you really do not have Viveka. You have so much of knowledge but no humility, then you are not a knowledgeable person, you are not a Brahmana. So such a Brahmana and a Shudra, meaning somebody's consciousness is covered by tamas, maybe ignorance. Whatever might be the variety that you will see, you will not be seeing the variety and the differences, you will be seeing unity in diversity. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Kavi Hastini Sunishchaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. You will not have any great feeling because you are not the doer, you are not the enjoyer. You allow the body, mind, intellect to function as a sakshi, as a witness. Like the executor, the judge has ordered, execute the guy. The hangman, he is simply executing the order. He is not having any personal interest in hanging or not hanging. So therefore he is not going to gather any sin. So we clearly understand, not only me, nobody is a sinner. Like Jesus Christ says, hate the sin and not the sinner, because nobody is a sinner. There is nobody called a sinner. Everyone is essentially Atma. Therefore he starts seeing everyone equally. Right? So he inside has identified with Atma, therefore he sees Atma everywhere. And that knowledge gets established in him and he gains an ultimate peace. See, the idea is to establish the knowledge. That's why we keep on saying, till you establish yourself in the knowledge, don't try to act funny to the world. Then the world will show how powerful it is. Like they say, the pregnant woman needs to be careful till the pregnancy gets established. So a Shishya is only trying to get established with the knowledge that has been impregnated into him by the Guru. You understand? So you need to do the sadhana, the karma, bhakti, jnana yoga, the hatha yoga, all the things that you need to do, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, everything, and then assimilate the knowledge through shravan manan nididhyasana. Then slowly the knowledge gets established and then you start having equal vision. Then when you step out, you will be influencing the world and the world will not be influencing you. Each one of us has a limited circle of influence. To some extent we can influence. After that starts influencing us. In this case, he influences the world completely, not get influenced by the world. And such a person is the one who is established in divinity. And when he is established in divinity, he is not born again. He is overcome birth. See, remember, generally we all try to overcome death. The major fear all of us have is fear of death. Right? He is not concerned about conquering death. He is concerned about conquering birth. All ulta. Whatever we are striving for is out of ignorance. When you gain knowledge, you won't be striving for that. We spend all our health in gaining wealth. Then end of the day, 70, 80, 90, I don't know, whenever it is, we spend all our wealth to restore the health. Right? So one needs to have that clarity as to what is it really that can give me security. Adi Shankara analyzes this beautifully in Bhajagovinda. It's a very short text, only has about 31 verses, but very popular. And what how does he start that Bhajagovindam? He says, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam Bhajamudamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukharinkarani. When the appointed time comes, none of these things will save you. Therefore, now when you are healthy, start investing some time in thinking about what is real security. Bhajagovindam, the truth. Swamiji says, you think your wife will come with you when you die? You ask her, darling, would you like to come with me when I die? She'll say, I'll think about it. Nobody is really going to come with you. You come alone, you go alone. So what is it that can really give you security? Very, very clear in the case of a jnani. He gets established. He therefore overcomes birth through dissolving his desires, completely identifying with Atma and become one with Atma. And thereafter, since he does not have any vasana, he has attained Jivan Mukti. But since he has exhausted all his vasanas, when he attains Mahasamadhi, Samadhi is when you dissolve all your desires and reduce function because of your past momentum, right? And when your body also perishes finally after realization, that stage is called as Mahasamadhi. And when you have reached that, thereafter you don't come back. There is no more birth. So he has not only attained Jivan Mukti, he also attains Videha Mukti. Thereafter he is not going to be born again.
Jivan Mukti is
exhausting the vasanas but continuing to live in the body due to your past momentum. Like when the fan has switched on, it will continue running. Even when you switch it off, immediately it won't come to stop because you have given it a momentum. Similarly, you have given some momentum to your life and you will continue even though you have realized the self. But as far as you are concerned, body is functioning, mind is functioning, intellect is functioning, I am not the doer. And after giving up this body, there is no more birth because there are no more vasanas. As per your vasanas, you choose the environment. Your environment is given according to your vasanas. Now you have the vasana to study Bhagavad Gita, therefore you are born in this environment. After a while you may be having vasana to do something else, then you will be born in that environment. But if you did not have any vasanas, then you will not be given any environment. The cause is removed, there is no more effect. So such a person is very clear as to what is real sukham. Atma sukham is real sukham. Any sukham that can come from outside world is not real sukham. It is actually dukkham. Dukkham disguising itself as sukham. Sukham is only inside. Like author Schopenhauer says, it is difficult to find happiness within, but it is impossible to find it anywhere else. But the mind goes on deceiving us. It is there. So therefore we are running. We are not really aware. So Vedanta says, don't stop running. That is not the solution either. What do you do? When you run, now run consciously. This is what Narad Muni told. I think his name was Ratnakar, no? Valmiki's name was originally Ratnakar. Then only he became Valmiki. You can Google it and find out. Let me know. I think it is Ratnakar. His name was Ratnakar. Ratnakar was told by Narad Muni the same thing. And therefore he turned and became Valmiki. He continued. Then he became Valmiki. Do you mean? So in other words, you understand that I need to rise. Continue. Find out. Is there sukham? No. See, what is the most sensible question that one should ask, which one never asks in life? If I have to come to this class here, I must ask the address of this first. Sit down. I'm coming. Thursday morning. And then I'm going around. And where I'm going around, somewhere in South Delhi. I will never be here. The first thing that I want to know is what?
Where am I going?
Where am I going? What is the address? Similarly, if in life all that I want is happiness, all that everyone wants is happiness, does anyone stop and ask this question, what is the residential address of happiness? Where does it reside? Robert, there is no time for all that. See, that fellow is running. Maybe he'll get it before I get it. I have to run along with him. Why are you trying to stop me? He's already reached, I believe. I have to take a supersonic jet now to get there. You understand? Swami Ramtirtha calls it as snares of 99. When you come to 99, you think next is 100. Is it 100? After 100, 1000 ho gaya. 1000 ke baad, 10,000. You'll never ever find that satisfaction in the external world. So therefore, when you run, when you chase, when you are chasing the happiness, enjoyment in the outside world, is it there? And when you see its original state, it is actually dukkha disguising itself as sukha. It is very, very interesting. In the world outside, everything is called as dvandva. What does dvandva mean?
Pair of opposites.
Pairs of opposites.
Sorry?
Pairs of opposites. You think it's linear. It's not linear. It is cyclic. Say for example, when you breathe in and you breathe out. Is it going on vertically? Breathing in, breathing out?
Okay.
It's cycle. You are breathing in and the breath at one point is turning to be coming upwards to breathe out. And then at one point it is going again to breathe in. Are you with me? But the turning we don't see. We only see this side. We don't see the other side. When you see, you understood it. Perfect. No problem. A professor, to convey this, what he did was, he kept a huge cube. On half of the cube, he colored it white, painted it white. Half of the cube, he painted black. Then he brought few class students and made them sit on this side and the others on the other side. So he asked both of them at the same time, both the groups at the same time, what is the color of the cube that you are seeing? This side said black, that side people said white. Then he said, no problem. Now all of you from this side go the other side, and the other side comes this side. Now tell me what is the color of the cube. Those who said white, now say black. Those who said black, now say white. Similarly, everything is sukham and but we don't see it as it is. And when I see that, then I detach myself. Then I start probing about this here. Then I suddenly realize that this here, the essential nature is happiness. So when desire, anger, everything, it is nothing but a flow, a momentum. I already told you in the classes. Dhara means what? Thoughts running from you to the world outside. Radha is thoughts running towards the Atma. Kama is thoughts from you to the world outside. Rama is thoughts from you to the Atma. Right? So once I realize this, I understand this, then I develop Vairagya. Vairagya is a beautiful value that comes along with Viveka discrimination. When I contact, I must contact with awareness, with Viveka Vyasa, with the discrimination, then I clearly see the original nature, original picture. And when I see the original picture of one, I see everything. They always test the sample, isn't it? Like in the factory, when they do quality checking, they don't do every product, isn't it? Few taken from every batch. and placed it. There are batches in which they produce. And from every batch, they take few samples and test it out. Isn't it? Similarly, when I see that this has sukham and dukkham, first is sukham, is going to come, sukham later on. First is sukham, then dukkham, then first is dukkham, then sukham, like this. In the 18th chapter, Lord is going to clearly explain this. He's going to say that that which begins as nectar ends up as poison. That which begins as poison ends up as nectar. Sukham and dukkham are flowing simultaneously. The reverse side of sukham is dukkham. The reverse side of dukkham is sukham. But the problem is we think sukham is only there in one side and dukkham is the other side, and we are constantly waiting for such a thing. Such a thing never comes. When I understand this, then my mind starts flowing towards the Atma within. And such a mind through meditation, I need to establish it. Firstly, I need to make the mind put reverse gear. Are you with me? Everybody is running. Nobody stops and thinks. Because they think, by the time I stop and think, not only my wealth is going to go down, the other fellow's wealth is going to go up. I need to be running, huh? Even for a moment, I can't stop. If you stop and think, you say, what is going on? What am I running for? Like Ratnakar asked, you become watchful. And then you say, in this it is not there. Not only in this, anything worldly is of the same category.
So what did Narad Muni tell Ratnakar is his name? What
did Narad Muni? He told him this. See, you are running around and you are
killing
doing killing and doing stealing and all this. Now, you are getting some pop. And why are you doing this? He said, this is for the entire family and clan.
So he can hardly take it.
Will the family also share your sin? When he went and asked, they said, I'll think about, we'll think about it. So in our words, you do something, you will have to face the consequence. Are you with me? So in other words, a different way of putting the same thing. Clearly see that outside there is no such thing as Sashvata Sukham. Your sukham that you get from the outside world is interrupted, intercepted by dukkham. Temporarily you will feel that, but then again there is dukkham. So once I understand this, then I am not going to be criticizing. That is the nature of it. Like I understand the nature of the tiger is to be ferocious. Am I sitting and criticizing him? Oh, he is like this, she is like this. That means what? You are also like that. I understand, Arey Baba, he or she is a python in human form. That is the nature. But original nature of that person is Atma. Therefore, I will never be criticizing. Swami Ramtita says, the first obstacle in spiritual path is criticizing. You want to grow spiritually, stop criticizing. This is one side of the story. The other side of the story is, not only you stop criticizing, you start praying for the other person. That is true spiritual person. You will forgive and pray for the other person who is apparently doing harm to you. That is why we call Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi as Mahatma Gandhi. Because when he was shot, he said, hey Ram, and he said, please don't punish them. Like Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. So first at least let's stop criticizing. If we call ourselves the students of Bhagavad Gita and this and that. The fact that you stop criticizing, you will suddenly see that you are already peaceful. You think your peace is stolen by that person's character, behavior. No. It is stolen by your reaction. The moment you stop your reaction, suddenly you will find that peace within, which you thought that person is taking it away. So the idea is to write about this criticism. World being as it is, it will stop disturbing you. You will start seeing that the Atma is the real source of happiness. And then through meditation, he's going to talk elaborately about meditation in the next chapter, but he's introducing it already here because he's explaining all this. So he says to rise above this desire, anger, fear. And fear, again, what is fear? Fear is always for the group. Group. When your thoughts are collected, centered, you do not have fear. But when your thoughts are running helter-skelter, then you have fear. Always group will find, will have fear. They apparently do things fearlessly, as it were. Like for example, one fellow starts from his house, other fellow starts from his house, they all collect together at one point, and then they all start doing all the nonsense. You know, sir, when you are alone, when you are lonely, you will have fear. But when you are alone, you have crossed fear. Fear is always for the group. You ask yourself, are you alone or are you a group? One king went to a Zen monk and said, please, I want to control my mind. Please, my mind is having so much of fear. I want to control my mind. Please teach me. He said, okay, bring me your mind. I'll, rectify it. I'll remove fear out of it. Hey, what do you mean, bring me the mind? Yes, give me the mind. Give me your mind. I'll do it properly. I'll service it and do it properly. He said, this guy's gone mad. He went back. After some time he thought, no, this guy is something different. I don't know what. He goes back and says, the king says, and he said, sir, when I am here, that means my mind is also here, no? So he said, acha, when you are here, mind is also here. Then look into the mind, what its nature is. And when he started looking into the mind, he could not find the mind. Mind is the momentum. The moment you stop looking at it, it will not be there. You start facing the fear, you wonder what is actually the fear. So when you are a group, so many thoughts are there in you, the fear is there. When all the thoughts, you become watchful, slowly when the thoughts dissolve, suddenly find there is no such thing as fear. Fear is a farce. But the problem is, far things look very solid. Like I've given you that example already, there is no such thing as hot charcoal that was given to you. You were only given cold pebble. Yet, that far charcoal created havoc in your palm. Are you with me? This is a problem. What is there is always there. What is not there. Already Lord Krishna said that in the second chapter. That which is there alone is, that which is not there is not there. But that which is not there is causing so much of havoc. But the jnanam comes, it is removed. And for that you go through meditation. And he talks about focusing in between your eyebrows. The Ajna Chakra. Ajna means command. By focusing on the Ajna Chakra, you gain command over the senses and the mind. You develop Sankalpa Shakti. Then you are able to do Dharana and Jhana and meditation. Slowly, slowly your mind is flowing single-pointedly, and then it merges one with Atma. It becomes reality. You have attained divinity. So the thought flow is, when you are extroverted, you have too many desires, you do more of Karma Yoga, then along with it, Jnana Yoga. Then slowly, slowly the proportion will change. Then Jnana Yoga will start getting digested in you, the knowledge will start getting digested in you, then you start realizing that you are the Atma, the consciousness, and not the body mind intellect, which is the doer. Atma is not the doer. Then from Dhara you will turn towards, you become Radha. Then through meditation you realize the self. So Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, then renunciation, which is Vairagya, then Dhyana and Samadhi. That is the part. With that, summary is concluded. So let us start the prayer.
Purnamadachyate, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kaina Vacha, Kaina Vacha, Manasendriyaiva, Manasendriyaiva, Buddhyatmana va, Buddhyatmana va, Shakti Swabhava, Shakti Swabhava, Karomi Adyat, Karomi Adyat, Sakalam Parasmai,
Sakalam Parasmai,
Narayanayeti Samarpayami,
Narayanayeti Samarpayami.
Thank you.